Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, a.k.a. your favorite Star Wars character, Snap Wexley, and you are right where you need to be, listening to yet another amazing episode of the Black Squadron Podcast.
Welcome back to the Black Squadron Podcast, episode 78, question mark. 78. I'm BP. With me is Todd. No Darth Mari tonight, but Todd, how you feeling, buddy?
I am recovering from AwesomeCon this past weekend.
Yes, I am too. But before we get into all that, we have to let the people know we're not alone tonight. We are joined by the founders of the Rogues of Mandalore. Say hello to Liam and Tom.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
All right. How you doing, fellas? First of all, thanks for coming on. I know the time difference is a lot from the East Coast to the West Coast. I appreciate you guys coming on at the time it is there.
Certainly for me.
So what are we going to talk about tonight? We are going to talk about, Todd and I went to a con this weekend. We're going to talk some Star Wars news, some Star Wars toy news, of course, of the stuff we purchased. And then we're finally going to get into the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace, which is... Spoiler note, it's Todd. Todd has been the menace this whole time.
I'm just lurking in the shadows.
Can I cut him in half?
You can't.
Don't be fooled. I'll be back better than ever.
Yeah. Spider Todd's going to be reckless.
Spoiler alert, it doesn't end well.
Oh, it's from a certain point of view.
Touche. Touche.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
All right, so Todd and I did AwesomeCon this weekend here in D.C. I debuted my Mandalorian. Everything went really well. Nothing fell off. I came home with everything I went with. So that was very much a positive. And then Todd and Julia, his fiance, got into the cosplay game. And how'd they go?
It was good. She made a Jawa from scratch, so taught herself how to sew. And that was an adventure, to say the least. Learned how to dye fabric, learned how to, I think next all we have to do is figure out how to do soldering and electronics for the sounds and lights and all that jazz. But it was good. It held up well, even with the rain. That was a big concern, obviously, for you as well. It was a gross Saturday. Rain. It was the worst of all the days that we've had. It was the worst weather that we could have had for cosplaying. But it held up well. She was excited. She's never really kind of gone into the cosplay world. Full on, so like people stopping to take her picture and wanting to take pictures with her was really cool for her. So yeah, it was good. We figured out what works with the costume, what we got to fix a little bit, and hopefully break it out for another con soon.
Yeah, I need to add one more fan to my helmet, just one. So one was fine. I wasn't hot at all, but I was sweating like an absolute madman. But overall, great experience. The con this year, I know we talked about it before in the past, it's been heavy Funko Pop, and this year was not the case. This was the best year for Star Wars that Awesome Con has had, maybe ever. Tons of toy vendors, like Black Series, TVC, Vintage, I saw Micro Machines, I saw a ton of Phantom Menace stuff, some Clone Wars stuff. Very few Funko Pops this year, which was a welcome surprise. And then I purchased some things I'm excited to talk about here later when we get into the cargo hold. But I guess let's go ahead and just hop right into the HoloNet headlines.
All right. So not a ton of news this week, which is kind of funny because I feel like last episode we had about 3 hours of news and this episode it's like 5 minutes of news. So I'll go through this really quickly. Right now is South by Southwest, so Daisy Ridley is there. Of course, Daisy Ridley being at anything means she's going to get a bunch of Star Wars questions, especially since she has her new movie that is going to be out sometime in the near future. And I guess she is getting ready to start reading a script. Obviously, with the strikes and everything, I think it kind of pushed everything, but she thinks it'll be end of 2024, early 2025, so we could be getting this new Jedi Order film, maybe late 2026. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see kind of when. I feel like it's really slow right now for Star Wars movies, but we have like 12 movies that are on the way.
They're circling.
Yeah, we have Mando and Grogu. That's going to be the first one.
In 2026. So
I'll be curious to see. Yeah, exactly. It's what, May 2026, I think. So I'll be curious to see if they do Mando and Grogu, and then like wait until 2027 so that we get a little bit of time, or if they're going to do what they did with Solo and The Last Jedi, where it was like 6 months apart, a little bit, you know, everybody's like, oh, a little Star Wars fatigue. So I'm interested to see how this goes. I'm sure we'll get more information. We'll have probably Celebration 25.
Japan?
It's in Japan, but I'm imagining that if she's thinking late 2024, early 2025 is when they're going to start production and maybe start getting into it. I could see, because I think Celebration's in April.
Are any of you guys planning on going or wanting to go to Japan for Celebration?
I would love to, but there's no way I can afford it.
Honestly, same.
So I could see maybe we get some new Jedi Order stuff at Celebration. Well, I definitely think we're going to get some Mando and Grogu stuff.
I cannot wait. I want the Mandalorian movie so bad that I can taste it.
Are you going to show up in your Mando? Are all you guys just going to show up in your Mando to the?
I'm planning on it.
Excellent. Yeah.
I'm going to contact my local theater just to, like, confirm, or like if I can't, I want to talk to someone because I know the helmet policy now is no, but if I could talk to someone.
I think they're cool if you bring them with you, but aren't
wearing. Yeah. Either way.
Maybe you can just say it's your popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Listen, if they can make the Dune popcorn bucket, you can bring your helmet into the theater.
Oh, a Sarlacc popcorn bucket.
Oh, let's.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say some things, but it'll get us canceled, and that'll be the fastest. Yeah, All right.
I bit my tongue.
Next bit of news, Star Tours is getting some new locations. I feel like every time we get some new projects, they kind of give us a little new taste, something to keep Star Tours relevant, given you got Galaxy's Edge and all the fun over there. So starting April 5th, we're going to get moments from Andor, Ahsoka, and The Mandalorian. Really, really excited about The Mandalorian stuff. Andor, I think, is going to be cool because you've got just so many gorgeous scenes from Andor that they could run with. And Ahsoka, I think, will be fun, too.
See the prison?
Yeah, exactly.
I hope it's just Skarsgård doing his speech of what he gave up, what he sacrificed, and just, like, makes everyone feel bad.
Right. We just have to sit there and watch it as he tells us again.
The ride doesn't move at all. It's just the speech for, like, 20 minutes. For
3.5 minutes, he just yells at you.
I want to follow Andy Serkis as he jumps off the... not Andy Serkis. Shoot, he can't swim. Never mind. Sorry, Andor as he jumps into the water.
I mean, that would be pretty cool.
That would be terrible.
It's a 4D Andy ride, Serkis and all dies. Of a sudden they just start throwing water on everybody.
Everybody's crying.
Everybody drowns. It's just a terrible time.
I think it's fun. Anytime we get some new stuff, which I'm sure that means with all these new movies, we're going to get more scenes from that. They're just going to keep Star Tours going. It's like the gift that keeps on giving with Star Wars.
I'm good with that.
I was shocked at an update for it. I feel like I don't remember the last time they did an update for Star Tours, but
they did one.
It was just the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, I know they did some for the Rise of Skywalker because it was when I was in Disney. I guess it would have been Celebration Anaheim. Star Tours had some of the Rise of Skywalker scenes, which that feels like an eternity ago.
It was.
That was before I even had my Mando.
Yeah, the world hadn't ended yet.
No, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's a wild time. I'm kind of jumping off of that. Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series, and Andor are both getting physical releases. I know this is a big win for anybody who's a big physical media collector.
Day one.
I love this. I do think it's interesting that we're starting to see all these streaming series get physical releases. Obviously we had Mando get its physical release. Now we're gonna get this. I am a little bit excited. I'll probably pick up these, but we're gonna get a couple different bonus features. Obviously these all come in a steelbook packaging, which is gorgeous. The art in them is gorgeous. Comes with exclusive concept art cards, but also there's some extra bonus features, like I think Deborah Chow is doing a director commentary on the finale of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which we haven't had a director commentary since The Last Jedi. So I hope we get more behind the scenes and director stuff, and like just the little things that we used to get with all the fun, like deleted scenes. I remember I was watching not too long ago, the deleted scenes for Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace and all. And I was like, man, I miss these.
Mm-hmm. I would literally give them money if they would give us a Art of Obi-Wan series, Art of the Mandalorian season 3. I would give them lots of money for that. Please.
We just need more art books generally.
Yes. Seriously. I feel like they've slowed up on the Art of books.
A lot of books. When was the last time you heard of a Star Wars book coming out that wasn't High Republic?
Well, we've got the you do have the prequel era stuff. So John Jackson Miller's got his Living Force book, and then they've got the one about Mace Windu.
Oh, that's exciting! I didn't. Has that one come out?
The Mace Windu one or the?
Yeah.
No, not yet. I think it's later this year is when that one's supposed to come out.
I really loved the. I really loved the old Mace Windu book. It was awesome.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I mean, obviously, the prequel era is very popular right now, and we're starting to get more with the 25th anniversary. It's kind of kicking off, I feel like, the next 5-6 years of prequel era heavy content. Because I think what is after this is the 25th anniversary of Attack of the Clones would fall, I think, around 2027, which is the 50th anniversary of Star Wars. 2027 is just going to be an insane year for Star Wars.
Yes.
It'll be awesome.
It's going to be a good time. But
that's 50 years.
That comes out. Pre-orders open that for that on March 12th. So this episode, I think we're shooting for Friday, if I remember correctly. Yep. So pre-orders are open. Get your copy.
And I don't know
get both copies. Get all the copies.
I don't know if you said this or not, but even if you did, let's reiterate it. The art on the Kenobi steelbook is awesome. It's the duel with him and Vader. And it's like that heavy blue and the heavy red lighting. So good.
Yeah. Great. And then last little bit of news is gaming news. So a couple fun throwbacks from the past have been coming out, getting remasters, getting re-releases. First one is Dark Forces got a remaster. That's out now. I have never completed Dark Forces all the way through. I've played it a little bit, and then I get to the level where you get stuck in the sewers, and I'm like, all right, I'm spending too much time going in a circle right now.
That's where boys became men.
I stayed a boy. I stayed a sad little boy.
It broke me a few times.
It's soul crushing. So that's remastered. That's out now. I think it's on all major platforms. So PlayStation, Xbox, PC. I think even Switch. Switch, I feel like, sometimes gets them, sometimes doesn't. The big one, and I think a lot of people are really excited about this, is that the OG Battlefront and Battlefront 2 are getting re-releases. Not super big remasters. They're still the same graphics. I think they're getting like a slight, like little polish, little cleanup. Those are coming to the PlayStation, Xbox, PC, and Nintendo Switch on March 14th. So if you're listening to this, it's available. Go nuts. Go forth and prosper. The big thing that a lot of people are excited about with this is that they are bringing back the servers to do online play. So you're going to be able to hop back in the original Battlefront, Battlefront 2 with 64-player online play. They're also adding expansions to Hero Assault Mode and all the previous release bonus content. So I think the Xbox got extra content that the PlayStation didn't at the time. So you'll be able to get that. There's a couple, it's Asajj Ventress and Kit Fisto are the heroes. And then there's a couple different maps. And then Steam users will be able to use their Steam decks. So you can take it on the go, play a little Battlefront when you're commuting to work or on a plane or going grocery shopping.
I hope this is stupid successful. And they're like, man, we have that new Battlefront 2. We could really do some stuff with that. I would love that.
Would you
walk it back and give us some more support, please?
For those who don't know, BP really likes Battlefront 2.
So do I.
I only have like...
It became such a good game.
I only have like 100 hours playtime on it. That's it.
Wow. That's significantly less than that.
I think that's crazy because obviously I remember when the newer Battlefront 2 came out, just how angry everybody was because it had the loot boxes and the well,
they had fixed that like
it didn't even launch with them. People were just so like set in their way. Like it came out at a time where people just were dead set to hate new Star Wars, regardless of what it was. Solo, Return of the Last Jedi.
In their defense, it did launch in a really shit.
It was a lot of hoops you had to jump through, but also I feel like that was also the time when there was so much anger towards studios for like nickel and diming people, still is to a degree,
rightfully so.
If you've
played the new Helldivers game, you can see just like how much better it is when studios focus on giving you like a good experience.
I am all for spreading a little managed democracy here and there.
Spill oil, bro.
Every time I play, I'm like, man, this would be so much fun as a Star Wars game. Like, if you just took Helldivers and put clone troopers, it would be
just give me some visual mods.
It would be the greatest like game. It'd be so much fun just to hop in, go kill some clankers. Just
imagine Helldivers was a Mandalorian game. We would love
that. Listen, let's not, because that's the next thing I'm about to talk about, which is the rumored Mando first person shooter from Respawn. Is I think I got all of like a week a week of living as a rumor. It's dead. It's not happening. EA did another round of layoffs. Respawn got impacted by those. And unfortunately, because of that, they are shelving their first-person shooter, which was that rumored Mandalorian first-person shooter, which I get so upset about this because we had Star Wars 1313, which was the Boba Fett one. That got shelved when LucasArts went under and Disney acquired Star Wars. Now we had this, which was like, okay, this is first-person shooter. It makes sense. Mandalorian's perfect. Got all of like a week, 2 weeks, and then done. So maybe
I feel like it was weird to launch a Mandalorian game as a first-person shooter, though.
Third-person would definitely be better, but
agreed.
They're also doing the Indiana Jones game as a first-person game, though, which I'm like, these are games
that's super weird.
These are third-person games. So hopefully one day, maybe after the Mando and Grogu movie comes out and it's a massive success, we'll get a Mandalorian-themed game, but I can dream. I'll just go back to playing Star Wars The Old Republic as a bounty hunter until in the meantime.
Yeah, God, sure. I can't believe that. And the rumored reason was there was no Jedi and no lightsabers. Yeah. That's...
Really?
That's, yeah, that's the... Again, none of this is like confirmed, but it's all rumors. But it was the EA was only wants to focus on games that have Jedi and lightsabers because they don't think that non... Which I feel like that shouldn't be an issue anymore because that was the same thing that people thought with Mando when that was first announced, like, oh, a show about Mandalorians, this is gonna be boring and lame, and then it became like the biggest cultural phenomenon when it came out. So
yeah, and then they re-upped that with Andor. I mean, like, that came out and everybody's singing its praises.
So it's EA, we'll see what happens.
So before we go on to our next before we go into the cargo hold, I'm gonna flash insert a new segment in here right now since we're talking about video games, called Is Star Wars Hunters Out Yet? No.
What is Star Wars Hunters? Is that the mobile game?
Yeah, it's the mobile game that's like been living in limbo for 3 years now? Five years?
I can't remember the last time I played a mobile game and had fun, to be honest with you.
I mean, I played Galaxy of Heroes, but it's not because it's fun. It's because I can't step away anymore.
We'll turn into our next episode to see if Hunters had come out yet.
Spoiler alert, it hasn't.
It's still
hard now. But that's it for the news. Real quiet news week, news month. I'm sure after we record this episode and it's out, there's going to be like 8 new things that drop because that seems to be our MO for the last like 3 episodes. We'll see, but I'm going to toss it back to UBP for the cargo hold.
Put Captain Solo in the cargo hold.
All right, for the cargo hold, we usually start with our pickups for the week. So I guess we'll start with our guests here. Liam and Tom, did you guys pick up anything Star Wars in the past month, whether it's for your kit, because you guys have amazing Mandalorian kits, or if you guys just find some random Star Warsy stuff? Anything?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff for my kit. I also got, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the Black Series. You probably did. The Black Series Bo-Katan, where she's like a hologram thing. I grabbed one of those because I wanted to do like an edited picture, you know? that's the one. Besides that, I snagged a new thigh, a Death Watch thigh from my kit, and a pair of, what are they called? Dragoon pistols from Kabiri Armory. I'm probably saying that wrong. But I just got those done like yesterday, so I'm pretty happy about that.
What about you, Liam? Any pickups for your kit this week?
Are you ready to go into an entirely separate segment about all of the shit that I have acquired in the last 4 weeks? I
watered my mind down, Liam. Water it down.
You give us some highlights.
Okay, the diluted. I took a gander at all the kit pieces that I have. I have over a dozen helmets that are waiting to be finished, so I'm really focusing on just getting projects done and out the door. Really excited about a couple 3D prints that I got from some of the rogues that they designed. Got one of the first Alter Ego Armory operators. Very excited about that. A brand new helmet. It's beautiful. Working on a couple display pieces this week. Trying to get some experimental like gold leaf kind of finishes going on with a couple helmets. Yeah, we're moving, man. We got a lot going on. I don't spend my money on action figures because I turn myself into one, you know.
What's the better way to do it?
Yeah, I do both because I'm unwell.
You got a hole in your pocket that you're just trying to find the bottom of.
I get paid, and then my first thought is, ooh, Star Wars.
Yep, same.
All right, Todd, you want to go first? Because it looks like you have a little less than I do this time.
Yeah, which is, I feel like I've been, maybe it's because I've been pulling it back a little bit, but I didn't get a whole lot. I got a couple of things. I just recently picked up two new Lego sets to go in the collection. I got the Captain Rex helmet. Haven't had that. It's a good one. I was like, I don't have any clones. I need to get a clone in the Lego collection. So I got that. And then my fiance got the Endor speeder bike chase because Return of the Jedi is one of her favorite movies. So it's a cool little set. Not too crazy. I like Scout Troopers, so we get little for both of us. I did pick up two TVC figures. I got the Darth Vader Dark Times, and then I got home and realized I have that already. And I was like, wow, this sucks. This is not. So we might give that away. I might find something to do with it. I got a couple figures.
Two is better than one, man.
I've got like three of some figures, though, because I'm like, oh, that's cool. I need one of those. I'm like, oh, I have three of these. Like, get rid of that. So I got the Darth Vader Dark Times from Kenobi, and then I got the Admiral Jar Jarrod to go in the Return of the Jedi collection. Then I've got BP, like we talked about earlier. Julia finished her Jabba costume, so that's kind of been the last month or so has been working on that. Tell you what, I never want to work with Rit Dye again. That is that stuff gets everywhere.
I just did a bunch of that yesterday or earlier this week.
It is, having never worked with it before, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a fun time. And like, I was like sweating, we're dying like all the fabric because we were working with monk's cloth, so it was like all this heavy, wet fabric.
Oh, yeah,
it was like this dark color.
That's rough.
So it was fun. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. The cutting was nerve-wracking because it's obviously monk's cloth isn't cheap fabric either, so we're like, if we mess this up, this is it, that's all we got.
Yeah, welcome to our world.
Yeah, I was like, man,
seriously.
Yeah, anytime I'm like, oh, it'd be fun to do a Mando or something, I'm like, I could not get past the making the first cut on the
with Mandos it's great, dude. You mess up and you just call it weathering, and you just
it's damage.
That is true. One thing I am thinking about doing, and I'm kicking this idea around, and hey, it kind of depends on money, doing a Tusken Raider to go with the Jawa.
Sweet.
So I'm gonna look at, pricing it out, seeing the materials I need, but maybe give that a go and have that ready for a con in a couple months.
That'd be really
cool. Gonna build a cycler rifle, or are you gonna build the gaffy stick?
I'll probably do a gaffy stick first, and then maybe go to the cycler rifle. I don't know, guns are tricky. Like, anytime you bring any prop guns, because I feel like if you have to take public transit anywhere, people are like, what is this dude walking on this?
Oh, dude, DC especially. Tom and I are intimately familiar with the downfalls of bringing a prop.
Oh, Tom, anywhere. They got it really bad.
We have a really crazy story. I don't know if we told it last time we were on the podcast.
I don't remember. I don't think you did.
Oh, my God. It's really bad.
So let's do a segue for story time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to tell it? Or you want to tell it?
Yeah, so I drove out to Tom this time last year to go to WonderCon with him. And
it was like 2 years ago.
What?
And wasn't it like 2 years ago?
No, that was last year.
Was it only a year?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
My perception of time is
so
bad.
Much has happened lately, man. I went out to Southern California to visit Tom and go to WonderCon, and kind of a difficult trip getting out there. Kind of a difficult trip when I've, leading up to the convention while I was in Southern California, I had my car towed among a number of other items. And then Tom and I decided we were going to go to a local park to get some pictures of our Mandos. And,
this was a park I'd been to like 9 times to do pictures already. Like, I've never had problems here before.
And plus, like, this is Southern California where these shows are being produced. Star Wars is very much in the zeitgeist, right? Like, everybody's thinking about it. Mandalorian season 3 had just come out, I think, or was about to come out, maybe.
I think it was about to.
And we're out there taking pictures and there's a helicopter flying over us. And all of a sudden you just hear this like loudspeaker, like the two men in body armor need to step out of the woods and into the field. And they had like this SWAT team circling us and we're standing out there like we're not doing anything. We're just two losers in Star Wars armor. Like we're not, doing anything, you know? It was a doozy of a time. And then,
you know, when you have one of those days where you're like, this might as well happen. Like,
yeah. It's like, whoa, it might as well.
You know, I'm standing there like, oh, wild. My car got towed. My girlfriend's moving out. Let it happen, you know? But,
we welcomed death at that point.
A real, of course.
It wasn't a great time. Remember your orange tips. And, you know, if you're going to get taken.
Call your local police department.
Yeah.
Before you do a photo shoot. Let them know where you're doing.
That's crazy, though. Like, I get it to a degree. Like, obviously, you know, walking around in full Mando suits. But also, anybody, I feel like you see that, you're like, this is not a threat.
People were stopping on the trail to take pictures with us. We were high-fiving people. Yeah. It was a great time. And then all of a sudden, like, we step out into this field. The guy comes down on the helicopter. He comes out and he's like, you didn't do anything wrong. We're just checking to make sure you're not, you know, like, mass shooters. And then we walk back to our stuff and there's, like, 10 or 11... like SWAT officers combing through our like boxes of gear.
That's nuts.
And they had pulled out like all the pistols and stuff. And they're like, these are not firearms, right? Like, no, dude, good Lord. As we're in our helmets, like, that was crazy.
Wild.
Shout out to Vista PD.
They just had a little extra free time that day. They were like, you know what? These guys look suspicious. Let's go check them out.
Some angry old man was like, these guys are having too much fun on the trail.
That's crazy.
Is that everything for you, Todd?
Yep, that's all I got. Like I said, I'll keep you updated on the Tusken Raider, but I'm gonna have to get that going soon if I'm gonna do it in time for. I think we might go to Fan Expo Philly in May. So
that's a tough time though, because that's the day that at Comic Logic here in Ashburn, Virginia, Brennan Wayne, the Mandalorian, is gonna be there. And that's Mari's comic book store. So I'll be there with another Rogue Mandalore, Treb. He'll be there with me. So maybe we'll go. I could do Philly on Sunday though, actually.
Yeah, we're gonna play around with it. I know we're just trying to find a couple different things.
The train ride is $10 as of yesterday, so
that's what I looked at. I was like, hold on now.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on the guests, because I know they said they've got some big Star Wars people coming, and then they said Gina Carano. I was like, okay, well, that
first care about all. That.
I was like, first off, I'm fine with that. But if they get,
does that still count?
I guess. I don't know, man.
We'll find out. If they get like a unit,
I liked the character. Yeah.
If it was Cara Dune, perfect.
Yeah. Right. Anybody else? But I guess it depends on the who they get. Like if they get like Ewan and Hayden for whatever reason, then I might go just to finally check that off the list.
Yeah. I will say before I move on to what I got this quote unquote week, when you do your Tusken, I think it'd be like an absolute cherry on top is if you learned a little bit of ASL.
Oh yeah.
Just like enough to like say hi or whatever. Yeah.
I would learn probably the basics and then I'll probably do a sound glove.
Yeah.
And then just have, so I can do the, without having to go too crazy, have a couple sound effects, have the Tusken gaffy stick and then you know, a little bit of ASL, since that's,
you mean you can't just like summon up that voice. Listen, and do it on
the guttural grunts and screams are great. I love going to that at concerts and stuff, but
just do one. I don't think I have only it. And the barefoot, just hit your pinky on something, pinky toe on something every so often, and just make it natural.
Just record it and play it on a loop.
Yeah.
It hurts.
All right.
So let's see. It'll be fine.
All right. So my pickups. I got some stuff that I've wanted for a long time, and I found it, and I got it for a deal, and I couldn't pass it up. I found a Phantom Menace crew work shirt. It's the ILM VFX crew. I had to have it. Found it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Great deal. Tis mine. Most of this stuff is from AwesomeCon. Most of it. I got the E-33 Boba Fett blaster.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really rigid rubber. I'm going to do a little tinkering to it because it's got some seals or some lines in it that I don't care for. And that.
Yeah.
At least you want to have the helicopter.
My DLT-19 is rubber. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave it orange. I'm just going to hollow it out a little bit and then put an orange cap in it because I don't.
Nice.
I don't know why I did this, but I found these the other day and I had to have them. Mandalorian playing cards. They just look awesome. Nice. They look incredible. I started opening Black Series figures out of the blue, which I've never been an open box person, but I got a Axe Wolves Black Series. This is just a pro tip for anybody who goes to Comic Cons. Ask how much something is, leave, come back like 2 hours later after 9 million people have asked and ask for the price again. Because this Jango Fett Black Series, for the first time I asked, was $55. And the second time I asked, it was $35. So, so I got the
Jango Fett. I got a couple of those.
Yeah, so I'm gonna open this, which feels wrong to say, but I'm gonna do it.
I have three of those that I got from Target for $2 in 2019.
Let's go.
That was awesome.
I got so much stuff. I don't even know where to start. But the last thing I get to show you guys is I got this giant 12-inch Kenner jumbo. For whatever reason, the guy was selling them for $25 each, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll take that. I'll do that all day."
That's crazy because those gentle giant figures go for like a pretty penny. So when you told us the price, I was like, "There's no way that can't be right."
For gentle giant, you have to buy into like their program right first, and then you can buy stuff.
It depends. For some stuff you do and other stuff you don't. Like, I've got a Jango Fett mini bust and a Boba Fett mini bust, and those you could just buy, but like they have their like Premier Guild, and that's how you get certain milestones. They'll have certain figures that and certain statues that they'll only let you buy if you have the Premier Guild membership.
Yeah. What else I get? I got a lot of Phantom Menace on card figures. Has a couple Mauls, some Obi-Wans, a lot of B1 battle droids, and then some other random stuff. I got a Kira Nerf Blaster from the Solo movie. I got a Mythosaur patch that I sewed onto the headband I wear under my helmet, which looked awesome this weekend, in my opinion. I got a camouflage Mandalorian beanie. I got a Mythosaur glass from Box Lunch because it said glass on the website. It's plastic, by the way.
It's my favorite type of glass. Plastic.
I got not one, but two Death Watch Black Series helmets. Whoa. They are $55 each at GameStop right now. Axe Wolves is $87. Bo-Katan is $79. The prototype Boba Fett is $100 even.
Why are you telling me?
And there's
this?
One more that's on sale I'm blanking on right now. Oh, Rex.
You're going to break my Rex wallet.
This is why we only record like once a month now, because every time we get together, we end up buying like seven things. I'm pretty sure the ILM jacket.
I've been looking for one of those Axe helmets,
yeah,
man.
I think the ILM jacket you found on eBay like while we were recording our last episode, because we were just sending each other eBay listings.
And then last thing I got was I got another Bo-Katan Black Series because I have one, but I want one to open. And then I got my lady a Jabor snippet necklace like Anakin got Padme because saw how that worked out.
Very well, Luke.
What
Leia.
Could go wrong?
Nothing at all.
Listen, at least you get a new empire out of it.
I know. Your new empire. All right, let's get in.
You turned her against me.
You did that yourself. All right. God, we could probably do that whole movie, actually, between the four of us.
Yeah, I was about ready to go.
Let's get into some news here. This is Hot Toys is like literally trying to bankrupt. Every time I like think to myself, okay, it's like I don't need any more. I have four of them. I'm good. And then they come out with the Mandalorian Super Commando. That looks unbelievable. That's $265. Comes out early to mid next year. The Ahsoka Padawan from the live action. So from that flashback Clone Wars battle. They announced her. She's $255. And of course, they hit us with the Baylan Skull and the Shin Hati. They both look amazing, but the Baylan looks unreal. Related but not related. Did you guys see the Oscars last night? The in Miranda, they did. They had, they show actors and they do some of them they do a clip from. They gave Ray Stevenson a clip, and it was like when during his battle with Ahsoka. I can't remember what he said, but it was like it was impactful. I was like, man, that sucks.
he was great, dude.
It was so good.
It was so good. I know because they had Natasha at Awesome Con, and a lot of people asked her, which I'm like,
yeah,
it's kind of, I don't know if I would ask someone that was your coworker. Yeah. Like it's still, they, you know, kind of close to when he passed. Yeah. I was like, that's a little raw, I feel like, yeah, but
faux pas.
She had nothing but nice things to say about just how much fun he was to be around. And it's a shame that we're not going to get to have him anymore in the Star Wars world.
Yeah, he was.
I'm really bummed.
He was
about
so
that.
Good. I believed him. You know what I mean? Like his care. I believed he was his character, yeah. And I believed he believed what he was doing was right. And you could feel that when you can feel an actor in Star Wars like that, that's special. And it's unfortunate the way everything's played out. But anyway, the Baylan Skull Hot Toys is 285 and the Shen is 280. All right. So let's get into the random toys. The limited edition Legacy Asajj Ventress lightsaber hilt box set, which I believe is from the original Clone Wars movie, the actual box. And I think this has already gone up and sold out already. So by the time this comes out to people listening to it, they gone. Lego. Yeah, there's so many Legos. We talked about them all last time, I'm pretty sure. A lot of TVCs we talked about last time. Nothing. I think the retro line might be dead after the Phantom Menace stuff comes out. I don't know. They haven't said anything for a while. Black Series, they announced a Mandalorian Night Owl, which I think they took the Cosca Reeves and just gave it a black wash because it's like slightly darker all over, but the exact same figure, I think. So one another Mando for your collection. There you go. And R46DO. I have no idea what that is. What's that from?
It's
you don't know R46DO? No.
From Mando.
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I have no idea.
I'll send you a picture of it afterwards. It's one of the
fake fan alert.
Yeah, you're gonna have to lose your fan card now. It's one of the little fun droids. No, it's not one of the pit droids. It's one of the Rolly Boys.
R4 unit.
Well, man, that gave it away, didn't it?
Yeah. Come on, BP, you're slacking.
All right, I think that's all for toy news. 37 minutes to get to this point, but the time has come. Let's talk Phantom Menace. 25 years, fellas. How did that happen? First of all,
that's upsetting.
I saw it without gray hairs. I've seen it with gray hairs.
I saw it with no hairs.
Yeah,
and I'm quickly approaching no hairs again.
Talk to us about you. Oh man!
Now the circle is complete.
Yeah, he's now the master. But yeah,
when you first saw it, you were but a baby. Now you are an old man.
25 years, fellas. 20th anniversary was like 6 days ago. I don't know how we got to 25 so fast.
Not right.
But this movie has been polarizing over the years, right? Like, it's either it's been hated, it's been now loved, it's been indifferent. It's a little bit of everything. I think for Todd and I, we've always been on the loved it side. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to guess Liam is also there, as he has a particular tattoo from this film.
I do, yes. And it was actually inspired by my last viewing of this film.
Ooh, very nice.
Oh, did we mention in the news that they're putting all the Star Wars movies back in the theaters, starting with Phantom Menace?
No, we didn't. No. Oh. It's during that same weekend, though, that they're bringing the Phantom Menace back May 4th weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I think the 4th, they're doing the original trilogy. And then the 5th, they're doing the prequel trilogy.
Very excited. I'm going to figure that out. That'll be a weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good weekend, man.
All right, so I put together some questions for Phantom Menace. We'll just do like a little panel. We'll go, everyone can answer. It doesn't have to be one word. It could be many words, whatever you feel like. But let's just start.
One word only.
What do you think of when you hear this?
That's all.
Banana. actually, wow, that's really weird. What's the first thing that pops in your mind when you hear the Phantom Menace?
Darth Maul igniting the double-bladed lightsaber.
That's a good one.
Easy.
For me, it's the victory march at the end.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Or just a bonus pod racer and, like, double bass, like, kick drum, like, behind it.
Yeah, I was gonna say perfect. The pod racing, the when you're, like, really in there.
Oh, that's a good one.
For me, I think...
How about Jar Jar electric
yeah. Exactly. I think for me, it's two things. One is the... score, John Williams' score is, I think, incredible in the way, especially after listening to David Collins talk about it at the 20th anniversary panel at Celebration in Chicago, where he's like, oh, by the way, if you listen to this, you'll hear this little bit from the Emperor's theme, or if you listen to this, this is actually an unused Jabba's theme. And I was like, oh, wow. So John Williams' score is easily, I think, one of my favorites from all the ones he's done with the Phantom Menace. And then the other one for me is just childhood. It was one of the first big stars. I think the first one I ever saw was, and it's actually the first movie I ever saw, was when they did the re-releases of the original trilogy for the special editions in theater. but just the hype and everything that went into the prequels coming back, the toys, the Legos, everything. I just, being a kid and just walking down toy aisles and being surrounded by Star Wars was, I think, so much fun growing up with.
It was the best.
So I think whenever I think of the Phantom Menace, I think of all of those fun times.
Yeah, same. It was the first Star Wars movie that I saw in theaters, live action. It was the first live action movie I ever saw in theaters, actually. Mm-hmm. So it holds a very, very, very special place in my heart. It's definitely not the best, but it's up there for me for favorites, 100%.
Yeah, same Star Wars, first Star Wars movie I ever saw in the theaters. I was not into Star Wars at all. This movie came out when I was 12. Dates me a little bit.
Seven.
Yeah, dates me a little bit here, but I was not into Star Wars at all. Coming back from, of all places, Washington, D.C., going back to Ohio, they put on A New Hope, and I wasn't interested at all. But as soon as Vader came through the Tantive IV, and I was like, I literally sat up in my seat. I was hooked from that second. I got home. I rented the VHSs. I watched all the three original trilogy. And then I learned about Phantom Menace coming out, and I was jazzed. My grandparents took me to like every Walmart in Ohio to look at the Star Wars stuff. I had like the first time in my life that people were buying me toys, like, because I came from nothing. But that's neither here nor there. So yeah, Phantom Menace is very special. That's a very special place in my heart, for particular for my collecting side. I guess what was your initial reaction, if you remember, because Todd was an infant, after seeing the movie for the first time? Did you come out of it like, oh my god, that was amazing? Or did you come out of that like, did I like that?
I was seven, and we emerged from the theater. And I want to say like 9 or 10 p.m. And all I remember thinking was, I need to go to bed. I was exhausted. Yeah. It was awesome. I remember really, really enjoying it. I have like, you know, the memories you have when you're a kid. I have like a very vivid flashing image of the first time the AAT comes over the hill in the Gungan battle. And I remember that was the moment that I was like, this is for me, you know? And then everything from that point on was great. Everything, the whole movie as a kid, I really, really loved. But I remember leaving and just wanting to go to sleep. But I remember waking up the next day and asking my dad, can we go get Star Wars Legos? Because they're awesome. And I loved Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan so much. So I was hooked.
I remember getting in trouble for talking like Gungans.
Same.
I would just like randomly go, Noza give up, Jar Jar. Noza give up.
Captain Topples.
All right, so looking back, put your looking back goggles back on for a second. Which actor or actress do you think stood out to you the most your first couple viewings of this movie, if you remember?
For me, it was Liam Neeson. I think clearly, like, you know, having the same first name was definitely, oh yeah, like that's badass.
Yeah.
But I think there's a wisdom to that character that I don't think anybody really had a grasp on until many years after that movie came out. And we started getting more Qui-Gon out of the Clone Wars and like the Force apparitions and that kind of thing. The thing that fascinates me about this franchise is that when we get content, nobody likes it. And then we sit on it and we stew we marinate on it for like a decade. And then it's like, oh my God, like that was incredible.
Some of us.
Yeah.
Some of us. Yeah. I mean, others are, you can't help some of us, but you know, going back to, you know, the looking back goggles, I mean, I'm going to assume I'm the youngest person here. I'm 27. This movie came out when I was two. I don't have any recollection of this movie until well after Revenge of the Sith. I saw Attack of the Clones in theaters and didn't make it through because I started getting like really violently ill. My dad put like, he gave me way too many Twizzlers in the theater and just made me so sick. And I had to leave because I was just like, I was a disaster. Really, Revenge of the Sith is the only prequel movie that I have any recollection of seeing in the theaters. I do remember watching Phantom Menace on VHS a lot, and I think the things that really stood out for me, like Tom had said, the tank coming over the hill and the sound that that made. Yeah. I've still got the VHS. It's burned to hell, but I've still got it.
mine still has the receipt in it from when I bought it.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. that's next level. Yeah.
It does. I think looking back on the Phantom Menace, it is my favorite of the Star Wars. If we're going to parse out like of, you know, prequel, you know, original trilogy sequel movie, I think the Phantom Menace remains my favorite of all, which I will get a lot of flack for. I do not care. I love that movie so much.
No, I love that. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love that.
I think for
love it.
For me, I think when you think of actors and you think of performances, I think Ewan is always, I mean, that was his first foray into Obi-Wan, and we didn't really know what we were going to get after that, too. I mean, the treat that we were in store for.
He had big shoes to fill.
It was like Alec Guinness is not an easy person, but yeah. Just the way that he is so believable as Obi-Wan, and then obviously we see that progress throughout the rest of the prequels and what they've done with the character and animation. But Ewan has always been up there for me. Ian McDiarmid, I think, because obviously I was 4 when The Phantom Menace came out, so I would have never put together like, oh, Emperor Palpatine and the guy that plays Chancellor Palpatine are the same person. But look,
I also didn't make that connection at 7, so I totally did.
I was like, oh man, I wish I was smarter in my infancy. But
I remember being like, why is this creepy dude talking to Anakin at the end of the movie? Like,
why is he whispering in his ear right now? Hold on now.
Right.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Also, that's not Mace Windu, like behind him.
Yeah, that was that. We don't talk about that enough, but yeah.
Listen, it's a fill-in.
That was really weird.
I think one other thing with the Phantom Menace looking back is how well it holds up. I was just talking to a coworker earlier who never watched Star Wars and is finally getting into it. And it's funny, he started with A New Hope, and he's like, I never realized how old these movies were. And I was like, first off, don't say that. The fact that A New Hope still holds up 50 years later, almost, and obviously it's had a little bit of touch up and a little bit of, you know, bringing it into the new age of technology. But the fact that The Phantom Menace hasn't had that touch up as much and still holds up extremely well for being 25 years old at this point,
yeah.
I think the technology that went into that film still does not get as much credit as it deserves, because it really, I think, changed modern movie making.
I would be really angry to see that touched up visually in any way, shape, or form. It's so, like, you're totally right. It completely changed the way we look at special effects, and like they still had so much practical mm-hmm. effects that were going on, and the CGI layered on top of that was so beautifully done. And it totally changed how, like, I perceived movies at that age. Just like what they could do visually was so outstanding, and that's something I don't think that we talk about enough as like a, not as a society, not to make it like a big thing, but like
our bubble.
Star Wars has always been at that cutting edge of like mm-hmm. technology, and it's always been the thing that drove the next like series of movies to aim higher and do bigger. And like George is like a huge reason for that, and Phantom Menace did that and sparked that. For as much hate as like the CGI gets for the prequels, it was insane at 7 yeah. years old. Mm-hmm. I remember just being completely like visually upset about how nuts this movie looked. It was crazy. Everything from like the Gungan battle, the ray shields, the N1s in space flying out of the hangar. It was insane. It was absolutely, absolutely insane. Just to piggyback off of you a little bit, Todd, Ewan was the actor that stood out the most to me. Liam Neeson was also fantastic, but I think as a young man, I mean, I was 7, so I was about to turn 8. I remember very clearly identifying with Ewan's performance, because he brought so much enthusiasm and physicality to the role of a Jedi that, having had seen the original trilogy up to that point, you didn't get it as much. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Luke was a really good fighter, and like you got to see that, but like Obi-Wan and Ray Park and Liam Neeson, that battle at the end, it's just so visceral. Yeah. That made me want to be a Jedi as a child. Just I wanted to grow the little rat tail so that I could have the little braid. And I went as Obi-Wan for Halloween like 3 years in a row. And yeah, exactly. And Ewan, you're right. Like we didn't know what we were in store for. But even just coming into that role, I don't mean to poo-poo Alec Guinness is an amazing actor, and he'll always be Ben Kenobi, but Ewan is Obi-Wan Kenobi, as far as I'm concerned. And he was Obi-Wan Kenobi the minute I saw him. It was a seamless, perfect transition for me. And I'll always cherish that. It's my favorite actor from the Star Wars, from Star Wars at all, generally.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I completely agree. Obi-Wan Kenobi is my favorite Star Wars character. Like, from prequels, OT, Clone Wars, whatever, my absolute favorite. And I feel the exact same way. Alec Guinness was Ben, and Ewan is Obi-Wan. Is there any moments from The Phantom Menace that stuck out to you guys, like stuck with you guys for over the years, whether it be a powerful moment, a funny moment, just any sort of thing that's like you think about when you think of Phantom Menace, that's what comes to mind?
I think the one that everybody I think is going to think of is the elevator opening, Darth Maul looking up, Duel of the Fates starting. I mean, that's, you couldn't, there's so many iconic scenes in Star Wars, but I think that is one of the scenes that is just such a perfect everything. It's perfect, like just the emotion, the intensity, the music. Yeah, the visual. I mean, and not even that, just like the whole, the meaning of it all. Like, I know Filoni did an interview where he's talking about Duel of the Fates years ago, and just how like important that moment is in the greater Star Wars saga. I mean, it's right. there's a lot of weight that you can feel in that whole scene, in that whole sequence. So I think that's always going to be the one that for me just is, as soon as I can see the doors open, I'm like, yep, I'm here. It's fine. It's good. Everything's great. I can't wait to go see it in a theater again and just feel.
I'm really excited.
Feel that like just push me into my seat.
Mine is, it's really silly, but it's the first moment that I realized, like, it's special to me because my dad and I still quote it to this day. And it's probably the single thing that I think that we have as like father and son that we'll always have. And no matter what happens, if one of us says it, the other one is immediately like in hysterics, is when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, at first they go up the ventilation shaft and then they come down and they're looking over the invasion army. And Obi-Wan goes, he says, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm probably going to butcher it, but he says, "You were right about one thing, Master. The negotiations were short." That always gets us. It's my favorite moment of the whole movie. It's so snarky. It's the best. And it's that's the Clone Wars Obi-Wan right there. That's the snark. That set the tone for the whole.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to pick like one specific thing that stands out to me about that. I watched the movie again about 3 months ago, and I was glued to the television the entire time. And I like, there's not any one thing for me to pull from. I don't think if I had to be really picky, Qui-Gon mentioning, you know, your focus determines your reality, or whatever that quote is, I think is really pretty impactful. Kind of looking back right now, I'm at a little bit of a crossroads myself and looking back on my own trajectory, and then having watched that movie recently, it's like, oh, that makes sense. serendipity
of wisdom.
But again, when you can feel it, it changes it. I guess for me, and it's just like, it's not necessarily something that happened in the movie. Well, it is, but it isn't. This was the beginning of I think my makerness is when I learned that the crowd at the pod race were Q-tips colored.
Oh yeah,
that blew my mind.
Yeah,
and I was like, that is genius. And like,
that's what I'm saying.
That
man.
Set me off on a trajectory of like, what else in Star Wars isn't real? And then that's when I learned about the communicator that was a razor. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And the,
None of it's real, man.
Well, first of all, you don't know that.
I feel very compelled to tell you that.
It's real to me.
You don't know that. It's real to me.
Can I
piggyback off that real quick?
Yeah.
When I was watching the Phantom Menace for the first time at the ripe age of like 4 or 5, whatever I was, looking at that communicator, my mom had the exact same razor in her shower. And I was like, I think, like you said, like it was either the Q-tip or it was the communicator, one or the other. And for me, it was the communicator. And I think that kind of pushed this, like, okay, this is a thing that I could participate in if I wanted to. And here I am, 25 years later.
Yeah, it's, I lived with my mom and my sister, and they all both had that exact razor. I was like, oh my God.
Are you Jedi?
I stole one, I think. I had it under my bed.
to this day.
they're angry about it. I remember, like, where's my razor?
I don't know.
That's a community. Would you like to
find one of those razors right now?
That's impossible.
Yeah. I've been looking for one on eBay.
In the corner just like...
You're either getting a used one, which is disgusting, or yeah, you're getting like a brand new one for like $200 because they know like some Star Wars doofus is going to want to pay $200 for
a razor. Not just any Star Wars doofus. Someone who's screen accurate and sane.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the doofus.
God forbid someone wants to do a real, like a one-to-one Qui-Gon cosplay.
Yeah.
What was the most expensive part of the build? What was the chic razor that I bought?
Funny enough, this light...
thankfully I got it used.
The lightsaber was
cheap. This lightsaber lineage. Cheap. This? It's absolutely
you
not.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah. All right, okay. Speaking of props from the movie, you say, theoretically, you have an unlimited budget. You could build any screen-accurate costume, droid, whatever, from the Phantom Menace. What would you pick? Who, like, which character or what droid would you build?
I have plans to build a one-to-one battle droid, either the commander or the infantry. Minor obsession with them lately. Kind of into them. You know, funnily enough, the tattoo that I got is of a battle droid. I was thinking about it watching the Phantom Menace 3 months ago. I was supposed to get this Mandalorian piece from Steve Reach. He's a Lucasfilm affiliated tattoo artist in Florida. I was supposed to get this Mandalorian piece done from him. I'm watching The Phantom Menace, and I'm like, that is the perfect design. The battle droid is the perfect design. It hasn't changed once since its inception into the like Lego minifigure sphere. It is the longest lasting design in Lego for what that's worth. And I was like, that is God's image. So I got a tattoo of a battle droid with God's image written over the top of it.
B1.
In Arabic.
B1 Jesus. And,
yeah, I love them. I love them. I would definitely do like a one-to-one standing replica of the B1.
Tom?
So wait, so repeat the question again, because I got kind of lost.
Unlimited budget. You could build a screen-accurate droid. You could build a screen accurate costume of a character from the movie. Either one or both.
Okay, so it has to be a droid or a costume? Both.
What would you choose?
A droid costume.
Mr. Bones?
Shoot, man. I mean, it would be really... I mean, I love the B1 too. That was like the first thing that I saw. I mean, when they're on the streets of Naboo and they're walking them through and Qui-Gon and Jar Jar drop down with Obi-Wan and they cut them up. That was one of my favorite designs ever. But to not just copy Liam... I would really love to build a droidica. I think they're really cool. I will never do it. I would love to, but it would be an undertaking. I have no idea where to even get started with that. But it would have to roll, you know?
I wonder what...
I couldn't not make it roll.
I wonder what the dimensions would be for a one-to-one droidica in real life.
Well, they're pretty freaking big. Like, in the movie, they're at least as tall or, like, chest height as Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
If it was a character, I would probably I'd probably want to build a Maul. I really love Darth Maul's costume from the first movie. And then the double-bladed lightsaber is iconic. It was our first, like, I remember seeing that as a kid and just like, they could do that?
Wait a minute.
Ray Park did such a great job with all the, like, choreography, and it's wonderful. And I love the little mistake of the earring that he just left in, and it's like, so awesome. So I if it was a character, I would totally do Darth Maul, although I'd have to like lose some weight getting the fighting form to pull it off, you know what I mean?
Be able to do the flips and twists and crazy moves, acrobatics.
Get some trampolines so that I can jump around.
You know who's got a really underrated costume in that film? Captain Panaka has a fantastic costume.
Oh, right.
Very
sweet. You beat me to it. I was going to say I would build a Captain Tanaka costume.
Damn it, Liam.
So good. They look.
Damn it, man.
Everything in the boot looks really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I did a costume, it wouldn't be for me, but I think it would be a disservice not to mention all of Amidala's costumes in the Phantom Menace. Everything from the royal gown to the handmaiden outfit. I mean, just everything is so well done. So if I had
royal gown is insane.
If I had the skill set and the money, I think having just like a replica of that to have on display would be the coolest thing ever, just because of how ornate and detailed and crazy that outfit is specifically, and iconic. I mean, every time you see a poster, it's right there. I mean, I look at the 25th anniversary poster and it's front and center. That Queen Amidala outfit is, it's just so well done. And I think the whole costume design for the Phantom Menace is interesting, because you're taking, you know, this foreign futuristic vibe, but then also adding an element of elegance to it, because this is a more peaceful time, whereas the original trilogy, it's war, it's chaos, it's a little more rugged. This is that refined, elegant era, a more civilized time, in the words of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Before we move on, I would also like to, I don't even need to do the costume. I just need the drippy poncho that Qui-Gon wears on Tatooine. It's so cool. I mean, that's like, it's, I know it's just like Luke's, but it's better. It's so much better.
It's smoother.
Yeah, because Qui-Gon's wearing it and he's, you know, he's all
got that swagger to him.
Exactly.
Speaking of Padme, I have a 7-year-old daughter who loves Padme. I don't post my daughter on our social media or anything, but I'm going to send you two a picture right now of my daughter's Amidala costume on Instagram. So take a look at that. She blew my mind with this one day. But given the opportunity to build anything,
oh, that's awesome,
anything screen accurate, I would pretty much anything from Naboo, because it just elegant, looks incredible, very well done.
Dude, she did an amazing job.
Yeah, she all because of the Taco Bell cup topper. She loved that so much. and that's what spurred that costume.
Taco Bell just holding it down, man.
I loved that, man. We'll get into that here in a second, though. Let's see here. I don't know if this is kind of tough, because you guys were kind of babies when this came out, but do you guys, Liam, you can ignore this one. Do you guys remember the frenzy that was the Star Wars merch when it came out, when Phantom Menace came out?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember primarily Lego. Lego Star Wars at that time was just off the chain. Like, I begged my parents for Darth Maul's scimitar, and I never got it. And so if either of you guys ever finds like an old scimitar set, please send me a link. Because
I do. I think that they are, for, because this is the 25th anniversary, I think they're doing a re-release of that set.
That's so cool. Okay, so I'm definitely going to have to.
If Mari was here, she would be attacking you for that Maul Lego figure.
I do have that Maul Lego figure. I got it in the speeder bike with Qui-Gon set. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I got the Stap set with the two battle droids on the Stap with Jar Jar and Qui-Gon. And I think
that Jar Jar Lego figure,
I think I had an N.
Worth a lot.
Oh, it's fantastic. Right, and I think I got an N1. I think I got an N1 as well. But, you know, my parents weren't super well off, so it was Lego. It's still expensive.
Yeah.
And I think that I was just happy to have anything at that time, you know.
I remember.
I never got an Obi-Wan figure. That was the big thing.
I remember for me, it was, I don't remember the frenzy aspect of it, but I remember like going into Kmart, going into Walmart, and the displays. Like, and that's, I think that's what I miss the most about collecting and Star Wars toys, is the displays are just not even remotely close to what they were during the prequel era.
Yeah.
I mean, now we've got like a tiny little corner, but when episode one came out, you had
whole aisles
of Star Wars merch. The back wall was full of Star Wars Legos.
Yeah. Dude, you're lucky if there's like three figures in a Target.
It's so depressing, but
oh my God.
I think it was
for me, it's been Dengar. That's like three Dengars. Yeah. Which I love Dengar, but I've got a Dengar.
Empire Strikes Back kind of died on the pegs there for us here recently.
It's really upsetting.
But for me, I remember it vividly. My grandparents took me all over to just look at Star Wars stuff. They took me to like every KFC, every Taco Bell, every Pizza Hut just to get Star Wars stuff. I remember I still have the Darth Maul beach towel. It's tattered. Like, it's barely holding on. But I can't throw it away.
Oh, man.
I still have the Darth Maul lightsaber that I got that came in the box set of the costume with the shitty plastic mask and the robes. I still have all my lightsaber. I have Qui-Gon lightsaber, my Obi-Wan lightsaber. I have so much Phantom Menace from just like my original run. So Ray Park is coming to our area here in DC, in August, and my goal is to get my original Maul on card figure signed by Ray Park. That would just be perfect.
That's really cool.
All right. Okay. Do you, if you guys don't know any, that's perfectly okay, but I know Todd does. What is your favorite unhinged Phantom Menace merchandise item that they put out during that time?
Oh, the Jar Jar watch.
The watch.
That's got to be it.
Yeah. The tongue candy. The tongue candy is mine.
I cannot get over the tongue candy thing. Because someone, like, you had to put that in your mouth. Like, there was no non-sensual way to enjoy that candy.
Non-sensual.
Because you had to get
it's a religious there. Experience.
What are you doing there, sir? Listen, it's okay. Just having a lollipop. Sir, that's a Jar Jar pop. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's okay.
Please stop sucking on Jar Jar like that.
The Darth Maul one did not last the other
children. There's children here. Please go somewhere else.
I know you are one of the children, but please go.
That era, I don't know if it was just because we saw it, I think, a little bit with like the return of Star Wars with the sequel trilogy. But them slapping Star Wars on everything. Like, you had Star Wars on food items. You had Star Wars on, obviously, we had the fast food collabs with the cup toppers and the toys. You had the weird merch items. You had the Jabba with slime figure set. You had, I mean, just so much random Kush balls. Just so much random stuff that... It was
significantly less though with the sequels, which was a huge bummer.
Yeah, well, it was like weird stuff. Like, you'd see like lettuce and would have like Rey slapped on. I was like, okay, this makes sense.
The Mandarin oranges BB-8 on it though was pretty spot on.
Yeah,
it's pretty solid. I definitely got like a couple of boxes of Kraft mac and cheese with Rey and Kylo on them, but that's about it.
So it almost feels like a fever dream to have been able to experience that in person.
Yeah,
like especially as a child, because like when you're a kid, everything's like, oh wow, this is so crazy and over the top.
I wonder how much of that is just like rose tinted goggles because we were children.
I think it was genuinely a wild time.
But it was a wild time. I know now. I mean, I have a 2-year-old, so I walking through stores and stuff, you get down to her level and you look up and you're like, oh, this is how it goes. You know. And so I wonder if that's more so what it was, if it is really a significantly less, but I know right now it is, but I wonder, because there was that period with The Force Awakens mm-hmm. where it really did feel like, oh my God, it's back. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. I remember going into like, I think it was a Target, and like every Lego set on the left side was all mm-hmm. Star Wars. And I was just like, oh my God. And I bought like 7 or 8. It was really bad.
For Force Awakens, they did a little bit, because they did a proper Force Friday.
They did,
and then after that, it kind of just really died off, because they didn't do one for Last Jedi that I remember, and they definitely didn't.
No.
They stopped doing the 3¾ figures for the last movie, which blew my mind. Like, you're there, you're at the end. Why stop now? Like, do the last movie.
Just stick the landing.
But yeah, the Phantom Menace was an absolute frenzy. I wish more people could have experienced it. Then got to experience it. But I guess that's what the people felt when they saw the original trilogy in the theaters, and we didn't. The mind-blowing special effects. Yeah, so speaking of this random merch stuff, again, a limited budget, space is not an issue. If there was any like Star Wars advertising things you can remember that you would love to have in your collection, like, for example, mine would be the Pepsi R2-D2 cooler. Or the Anakin in the helmet Pepsi machine.
That's the one I was thinking of, was the helmet machine. That was pretty sweet. I would really like to have that.
Mine is the, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the droid transport.
Oh, the cooler.
Cooler case.
It fits
all of the the can topper. So like it has
It's the B1 battle droid.
Pepsi can that had the it's the B1 battle droid can topper, and then it fits all of the Pepsi can, like the Pepsi Mountain Dew, all the that brand of soda that had the Phantom Menace, the character faces on it.
Yeah, I love that.
That would be such a like just a cool thing to like, you walk up to a party like, oh, what'd you bring? I was like, don't mind me, I've just got a 12 rack of battle droids.
A two-hander.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody would steal one.
Yeah.
And it would be me. I would steal one.
I can't believe, like, in the realm that we live in, Tom, that someone, like, a 3D modeler hasn't, like, made this. and made it readily available.
I'm sure somebody's done it somewhere.
It'd be really cool.
I wonder if there's like a copyright issue. Probably not. I mean, it's been like 25 years.
That'd be really cool. If I had the option to buy a raw print of that, I would absolutely do it and make it myself.
Oh, 100%. 100%. There's a pizza place like literally a minute walking distance from my house. It's called Killer Pizza from Mars in Oceanside. And their whole like shtick is that they just collect all of those old toys. And so when you go in, it's just like Star Wars ships hanging from the ceilings. They have every single one of the Phantom Menace, like limited edition cans in a display box. So you can see all of that. So every once in a while, I'll go in there just for like nostalgia. Yeah. You know? I'll order like their pizza's good. But you go for the stuff. They have one of the original Star Wars pinball machines too.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty sweet. And they have some older Lego as well. It's pretty cool.
I know there was one thing that I did after years, like this is probably before we did the podcast. Like a lot of people, I was trying to do the Pog. Remember the Pog set that you collected through KFC, Taco Bell, and what was the other one? Pizza Hut.
Pizza
Hut. So if you got every single one of them, you won $1 million. I don't know. I don't think anyone ever did. But
probably not.
15 years after, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it now. And I went on eBay.
Does the offer still stand?
And I got them all, but I didn't win $1 million because it had apparently time had passed.
That's unfortunate. You should call them.
There was just a documentary about Pepsi not giving a jet away. I don't think they're going to give him away.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, it's probably true.
The last question. Oh, the Phantom Menace and the prequels went through years of hell, but thankfully people have begun to come around to its brilliance. What would you say to someone who is still holding out to the old narrative of it sucks, quote unquote, to get them to give it a try in 2024?
To get them to give it a try? It's tough. I don't really think you can change people's opinions.
Yeah.
I think that the only thing that changes people's opinions these days is time. I mean, we were talking about like when the movies came out, when the prequels came out. One thing I'll say for like my dad, who's not, he's a Star Wars fan, but he's not like a huge, you know, it's not the same to the same degree. He loved them. You know, we went to every single one, we saw them together, and he's a huge fan. And I remember I was like 14, 15 years old, and you start going on like internet forums and stuff. And I was on this Lego forum talking to some people about some Star Wars sets that were coming out, and they're just bashing the prequels. And I remember feeling just like this horrible amount of like shame for loving them so much that I turned away from that for a time. Just, I stopped talking about them. Because you don't want to be seen as the weird guy that likes those movies. Right. But nowadays, I mean, I would just tell them that for me, it's the same thing I say to everybody when they say they haven't seen Star Wars, which is very few people. But I've run into some people, when you go to watch it, you got to watch it through the lens of a child. You have to remember what it was like to be a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, and watch it with a sense of wonder. Because if you don't, you're just going to have, for me, I would be fine, but I think a lot of people would just not have the best time with it. I mean, I think that's the problem with it. We're facing the same thing with like the sequels today. Are they perfect movies? Hell no. None of them are. Rogue One and Empire are probably the only ones I would consider to be like perfect movies. But they all have their problems. You know, I mean, from the OT, you've got some wonky dialogue. And from the prequel trilogy, you've got a lot of wonky dialogue. And the sequels, you know, the plot's all over the place. But if you really sit down and you just remember what it was like to be a kid and enjoy things, it's eye candy, man. You know, just turn off your brain, watch space lasers go pew, and just have a good time. Because when you're watching it for the fights, I had gotten into this argument with a guy I know locally, and I'm sorry to go on a tangent, but I feel very passionately. Oh, fair enough. I feel very passionately about this stuff. Is that you know, for what it's worth, I don't. A lot of people, I'll get a lot of shit for this probably, but I don't think The Last Jedi was that bad of a movie. Personally, I enjoyed it. I remember coming out of the theater upset, rightfully so, I think. Mm-hmm. But also like understanding that they were trying to take it in a new direction and appreciating that for what it was. The last thing on my mind was the wonky fight choreography. And there are a lot of people I recently, within the last couple of months, that have been just like hounding on the Last Jedi fight. And my first thought is, did you even watch the others?
Yeah.
There are so many funky moments in like, just like not even like the OT. Let's talk about the prequel fights because they're fantastic. But like the last fight, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Darth Maul, if you break it down shot for shot in the same way these people are breaking down the sequel fights, there are instances where Obi-Wan's just spinning and swinging at nothing and not making contact with anything. Mm-hmm. They all have faults. They all have moments that aren't great. But if you can get past that, which I think you should, because the great moments are so much greater. And I love, I'm not dogging on the Phantom Menace fights. I love those fights. I'm just saying, if you want to hate it, you're going to hate it. And if you want to have a good time, you're probably going to have a good time.
Yeah. And so Liam, looks like you're back. Just the question is, for years, it was the narrative of the sequel or the prequels were, you know, they're bad. They suck. It's CGI fest and whatnot. How would you approach it if someone who is still in 2024 still says that narrative, still holds on to that Reddit ideal without giving it an actual proper chance? What would you say to that person to like maybe try to get them to see it from a different perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very strongly. I think Tom and I have a lot of the same mindset about this stuff. I mean, to me, Star Wars is not... I'm going to catch flack for this. Star Wars is not good. Like, it's not...
You're right.
This, like, high art thing that everybody, like, that a lot of fans think that it is. And, like, it's... For me, I think there's a lot of artistic talent that goes into it. I think that we see these people who have a lot of care for the things that they create, working for ILM, working for, you know, these prop houses. I don't think that they are good movies. I think that they're fun and they should be fun, but they're not. I have a lot of opinions as to why they have kind of held on to why they've continued to be a cultural, you know, juggernaut, but they're fun and they're just supposed to be fun. And that's all that they were supposed to be. They're not supposed to be these like, you know, Game of Thrones level, ultra political, ultra violent, you know, they're kids movies, man. They're not anything to get all up in arms about. And that's what I don't like pop culture that much. Like, I'm not super into Marvel. I'm not, you know, I couldn't tell you the last Marvel movie that came out. I couldn't tell you any like, you know, TikTok books that came out. Like, I'm not up to speed with this stuff. I am very much like, I like horror movies. I like collecting oddities. I like doing all these other things that are very, you know, for me, Star Wars is the weird thing for me. It doesn't make sense that somebody who, you know, has my other interests would also be like really into Star Wars costume. Yeah. Right. But to me, Star Wars is about having creativity. It is about telling stories. It is about when Lego started to make Star Wars sets, that I think completely changed the game for me, because that was this is a space that is designed for you to tell your own stories and to be creative. And to me, that's all that this is. I don't think that if I didn't have that, if I didn't have Lego and Star Wars at the same time, I don't think I'd be into the Mandalorian stuff. I don't think I'd be talking to you guys right now. All of this comes back to this being a creative space, a place to have fun, and a place to just like be a kid. It's not that deep.
It is not. It can be.
There are deep moments.
It can be.
There are deep moments.
Yeah, there are moments. And like, I think that like, we've talked about it before, Liam, like Andor is one of those series that like, when it came out, I wasn't really a huge fan. I had to watch it in one sitting to really absorb it. And I love it now. But I agree with Liam in the sense that it doesn't have to be that deep. It is just kind of, for me, it's always been like a visual medium. And the stories are great and I love them, but like, you're right. It's just a space for me to be a kid again. It's escapism at its finest, and it's nostalgic escapism, which is just even better, you know? And we live in a world, I think, where we all are faced with this like crippling, yeah, everything's awful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so to have something that's just purely like whimsical and wonderful all the time or whenever I need it, you know, is great. It's like a hitting a reset button on my day. If I'm having a bad day, I'll throw on probably not Revenge of the Sith because I'll cry, but I'll throw on like a Star Wars movie and I'll just, you know, it's in the background and I'm hearing the sounds and it's like, okay, I feel better. It's really nice.
Yep. Todd.
I think to kind of piggyback what both of you said, if I was someone who has seen The Phantom Menace, still thinks it's trash, thinks it's garbage, doesn't want to get out of that mindset, I think the way that I view it is almost how I went into seeing Solo. Like, Solo was one of those movies that no one really asked for, no one really had a lot of expectations for. I think when you...
I asked for it.
I love it. I think it's the most...
I love Solo.
It's yeah. The one movie I think I've seen the most times in theaters that's a Star Wars film.
Same here.
But I didn't go into it with any expectations. And I think people bring either they've never heard of Star Wars and have these high, lofty expectations because they're like, oh, it's Star Wars. It's going to be the cinematic masterpiece. I think if you go into it and just looking for fun, you're going to find fun. Like Solo, I enjoy so much because it's a fun movie. Like you can just put it on, smile the whole movie. It's fun. It's got a lot of like, campiness that Star Wars is good with. There's a lot of quirkiness to it. And I think the prequels there's a level of deepness to them. Like there is that underlying story.
The tragedy.
The tragedy
of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Have you ever heard of it? but
teach me this power.
If there's a little bit of everything for everybody with Star Wars. If you really want to like peel that onion back and get into the nitty gritty story, you can find that. You can pull those people that like to, you know, have 20,000 word paragraph breaking down, you know, the what it means to be in Star Wars and what Star Wars is and what George Lucas is trying to do. You can find that. If you also just want to go and have a good time, you can find that. If you really like costume design, you can find that. I think that's why Star Wars has been such a powerhouse for so long is because you can anybody can find themselves in Star Wars, whether you've got an interest in sci-fi or prop design or costume making, or you can find something that you would enjoy with Star Wars. So if I was talking to someone who did not want to give the prequels a chance, I would say just think of what makes you happy as a kid and take that mentality into this viewing. I know Freddie Prinze Jr. always talks about the iconic podcast session he did where he's saying they're movies for kids. But I do think that to a degree that is a great way to approach it is these were movies that George made for kids. And you can find, you know, ways to connect to them as an adult, but that sense of innocence that you get as a child watching it, being able to call back to that as an adult, I think is such a fun treat that it's more fun to embrace that than to try and be critical of it. If you're going to spend your whole time being negative about something, then why are you a fan of it? There's no fun. You're just spending a lot of time and a lot of energy because those people are very, very good at making sure you know about their opinion on hating on something. And then if they don't get that reaction out of you, then they're kind of left dumbfounded. So it's like, well, yeah. I hate the prequel. So it's like, okay, cool. I'm going to go watch The Phantom Menace again and have a great time. They're like, what? So
yeah, let people enjoy things. Yeah.
Exactly. If you don't like it, that's your prerogative. I'm not going to force you to like it, but I say give everything a chance, go at it with a fresh set of eyes and embrace it. And that's why I think why the prequels have had sort of this renaissance and why people are embracing Hayden and Ewan again. Obviously a lot of us were younger when we saw it, so we connected with it, and now we're older and we're having the chance to meet them, and they're doing the con circuit more and actually getting to talk to the kids that grew up watching them. So I'm sure we're going to see something similar with the sequel trilogy. I'm sure we'll see something similar with the next set of trilogy movies that people will dog on for whatever reason. And then 10, 15 years later, it'll have its moment in the sun. So it's like poetry. It rhymes.
I always tell people when they ask me if they should watch Star Wars, because I'm sure like you guys, I'm the Star Wars guy at work. So I'm sure you guys are as well.
Yeah.
So if people have questions about it, they come to me. And I always tell them the same thing. If you want a cinematic masterpiece, go the A24 route. Go watch Goodfellas. Go watch Godfather. Go watch, like, you know, look at the all-time Oscar list, movie list. Go there, maybe. This is not, it's not what Star Wars is. For me, Star Wars, it's the characters. It's, I've grown attached to the characters. I've grown attached to the universe. I watch the background just as much as I watch the movie itself. I mean, we just had this in the disc, the Rogues Discord, where I put the hissing sound in my helmet of the depressurization, and someone said, that's not real. Why would you add that? And I put the clips, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even notice that in the movie and in the show. So I noticed the little details. I enjoy the little details. I enjoy the characters. I enjoy the universe. I enjoy the interactions between my favorite characters. Like, I think Liam said it. The movies are not phenomenal movies. They are fun movies. They are beautiful to look at movies. They are fun, fun movies if you're a maker or a builder. So don't.
You're even just like a casual fan. Yeah. Like,
don't let.
It's okay to just watch something and have fun.
Yeah, you know? I would just. Stop letting the internet sway your mind of what is good and what is bad. Make your own opinions. Watch it yourself. Decide for yourself. You are what's important to your enjoyment and your mental health. So do you, boo-boo.
Boo-boo.
If you guys have any other thoughts you want to say about The Phantom Menace before we wrap it up?
I am excited to see it again in theaters. I'm excited that this is going to kind of start off several years worth of prequel love. I think I mentioned this at the top of the show, but the fact that we're getting this year, 2027, we're gonna get the 25th of Attack of the Clones, and then,
well,
after that is Revenge of the Sith. Like,
next year it's gonna be years for Revenge of the Sith next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And I'm pretty sure the 20th anniversary is the time that Anakin does not turn.
Well, yeah. Hold out hope.
Every time I throw it on, I'm like, please don't. Please.
Obi-Wan's going to get through them.
You're going down a path I can't follow.
Yeah. I'm excited, though, also for the people that didn't get to experience them in theater. Like, obviously, the episode one did a 3D re-release, but aside from that, we have not had the opportunity to watch The Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith in a theater, really, where that's that level of excitement. Like, the fact that they haven't done this, I'm sure it's going to be, these showings are going to sell out. It's going to be packed with people that are really excited to go see these again. So I think being able to capture that environment again for people who haven't gotten to experience it, people who experienced it as a kid, people who miss seeing Star Wars in the theater, I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see them in theaters too. I wanted to add before to our conversation was that, like, so I work in a high school. And I've got this, like, group of incoming freshmen right now. And a lot of them, for them, the sequels were what the prequels were for us, right? And a lot of teachers really, that I know a couple of teachers that really like Star Wars, they really didn't like the sequels. And what I wanted to say was, if you're one of those people, remember what it was like when the prequels came out and adults were mean to you because you liked them. And let the kids enjoy it, man. Like, it's so frustrating. I will jump to these kids' defense every time. And it's rare, you know. Star Wars isn't as popular, I don't think, these days with kids as it was when we were kids or even before. Yeah. And so whenever I find those children, I'm like, Kylo Ren is great. It's fine. Yeah. You'll be fine. Yeah. Rey is great. It's fine. Just, it's fine. Stop being mean to people. Drives me nuts. But yeah, I'm really excited to see him in theaters. I'll be there at least for the, I don't know that I'll make the, just the Phantom Menace one, but I'll definitely try to do the prequel trilogy day. I think that's May the 5th.
I have to see Revenge of the Sith in theater again. I have to see that opening scene in theater again. I have to.
Oh, I know, dude. That might be the best, or at least my favorite opening.
Same. I have to see it again. Have to do it. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, permanently altered my brain chemistry when I saw that.
For real.
When they spin in tandem. Oh.
Yeah, dude.
The drum beats and the like pan over. I was like, oh, this is...
The music, too. Jesus.
And it peaks.
It's a cold open, and then you're wondering, like, okay, what's going to happen? And then, you know, this wide sweeping shot straight down into this immense...
battle.
You know, dogfight. Yeah. It's just like, oh, my God.
insane.
It's overwhelming. Love in it. The best way.
So it good.
Beautiful. Still, like we just mentioned an hour ago, 20 years later, still looks amazing. All right, fellas, I appreciate you guys coming on. If you're still listening, hope you are. You can find the Rogues of Mandalore on Instagram, and feel free to join the Discord. If you want to build a kit, this is the crew to help you do it. You can find Tom and Liam on the Instagram as well. Liam is the T-Face Cowboy. Tom is Dad_Bane. Pretty sure I got that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Todd is Todd Knows Best, and I'm VP the Maker, and we're the Black Squadron Podcast. And remember, until next time, Force will be with you always.